I want to tell you a story that happened to me this week. And on Monday night, I picked my little girl up from school, and my boy was staying for football. Okay, typical boy. And he was playing footy. And so I had an hour with Caitlin, just the two of us. And so we were walking into town, to Larder's actually, and saw Billy. And walking into town to get a drink and just spend an hour, just mum daughter time. And so we were going into town and we were kind of chatting on the way. And I'm like, Caitlin, what have you done in your day? And what have you done at school? And she was telling me the bits she could remember, because who remembers if you've had children? They might be grown up now, but when you ask them what they did at school, they all of a sudden get amnesia and they can't remember a thing. Okay. So she kind of remembered a few things, and she told me what she'd done in school that day. And then she says, Mum, what have you done? So I kind of turned, I said, well, Caitlin, I had my induction at the gym today. And she was like, wow. She said, so did you go on any of the stuff? Did you do any running? And she was like really interested. And because I'd been the day before, I'd taken her to Pod Squad because I was going to go and sign up for the gym eventually. God's only been talking to me for about 2 years. But eventually I've given in and I'm going. And so I went for my induction. I said, yeah, I went on the treadmill, Caitlin. I said, I went on the cross trainer. And the instructor was making me work really hard. And all of a sudden she stopped walking and she looked at me. She kind of went like this. She went, you can tell, I think you do have, I think you have lost a bit of weight, Mum. I was like, thanks, Caitlin. She says, yeah, you're looking a lot better this afternoon. You see, because over the last few weeks in my life, God's been just talking to me and highlighting some changes that I need to make. And so one thing that, you know, my kids know about and you know, all that kind of stuff is that Mum is going to the gym and it's nearly killing me. And I did do that thing where I came off the treadmill for the first time. I'd only been on for like 10 minutes. And, you know, if you may not have seen the film Bridget Jones, but if you have, well, you know, when she gets off the exercise bike and then her legs go like jelly and she falls over. I felt a little bit like that. And I came off 10 minutes on the treadmill and thought, okay, is it done yet? Have I lost the X amount of stones that I need to lose? No, I haven't. I'm going to have to carry on going. You see, because the thing is, what God's been talking to me about is being the change in my life. Because a lot of the time we can expect God to do it or we can expect someone else to do it. But actually, God's been talking to me about being the change for me. And what I want to do this morning is take us to a story in Mark chapter 2. And I'm going to read us the story of real change in someone's life. And this is what I want us to be thinking of as I'm reading, that change for this guy almost seems to happen overnight. But for us, sometimes we just have to keep on being who God's called us to be. And as we do that, change will begin to happen. So let's turn to Mark chapter 2. Tell us the stories of Jesus. This is another one, okay, from the book of Mark. And it says this, verse 1, and we're going to go down to verse 12. I'm reading from the NIV version of the Bible. It says this, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside of the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him in because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting here thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the man, your sins are forgiven, or say, get up, take your mat and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone and they praised God saying, we have never seen anything like this before. This is another story of Jesus carrying on, showing his authority on earth through what he did. So we don't hear about loads of things that he said, but we see the change that he brought. Now, whenever I mention the word change, some of you will start getting excited and some of you will begin to cringe, because some people love change and some people hate it. And in our house, we're slightly divided. Okay, so I love change. So everyone's going, it's September, she's talking on change. Everyone hold on. Okay, we're about to start doing something. And so I love change. I love it. I love like going into a room and changing it round. You know, the guys kind of here, I'll go, what if we do this with the offices? And they all kind of know we're going to have to get a team in and we're going to be moving stuff. And because I love change, even if it's just changing a room. I love change. Math hates change. So we're quite divided in our house, okay? It's not a bit strong at all, honestly, I'm telling you, okay? Some of us love change and some of us seriously dislike it, all right? And in our house, we're slightly divided with that. But just, you know, sometimes we can get comfortable with the way things are that we oppose any form of change. With God and in our lives as Christians, there are two things that are unchangeable. Number one is God. The Bible says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. And number two, it's his word. We stand on the word of God and we believe what the word of God says. And we love the word of God. And so there are two things that are unchangeable. The rest, open for debate. The rest, if God needs to change things in us, he can change things in us. And inevitably, sometimes for things to move forward, sometimes they need to change. If you keep doing the same things that you've always done, you'll get the same results that you've always had. Sometimes things need to change. In us, in our community as a church, and in our community outside of these four walls, sometimes things need to change. And what I want to do this morning is I want to look at three characters in this story. There's four, but I'm going to look at three. So I'm not going to major on the scribes and what they were thinking, but I do want to say, you know, sometimes we don't even have to verbalize things. God hears what we think in our heart. I remember when we were in college, and we used to get different people to come and preach in chapel when we were in college. And some of you may have heard of Pastor David Shearman. And when we knew that he was coming, we'd repent of things that we'd probably not even done, okay, in case God spoke to him. Because he was a man that would come and he would say, he would prophesy over you and he would speak directly into your life. And I'm, Lord, anything that is wrong, anything right now, please just take it away now before he comes and before he stands in front of us, just please help me here, Jesus. And so, you know, Jesus knew. The Bible doesn't tell us that they said that to him. It said they thought it in his heart. And when Jesus knew what they were thinking, he opposed it. And so I'm not going to kind of delve into the scribes and what they were saying and the Pharisees and people like that. But I'm going to look at what Jesus did. I'm going to look at what the friends did. And I'm going to look at what the man himself did, those three aspects of change. So number one, Jesus was the change. And Jesus still is the change. The only way that I have ever embraced and carried on with change is when Jesus has done it in my life. Everywhere Jesus went, he brought change. Everything he did brought change for individuals as well as whole communities. Everywhere he went, he challenged the status quo of the church. I love that about Jesus. People like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would have called him a troublemaker because he was going and not conforming to what they were saying. But I love Jesus. I love the fact that he challenged people's thinking, that he changed situations and circumstances, that people's lives were totally changed when they left his presence. And you know what? Today, it can still be the same. Jesus is still the change. Jesus is still the one who can change our lives. People, ordinary people, wanted to be around him and followed him as much as possible because they saw the change that happened before their very eyes. If you read some accounts of Mark chapter 2, it says that they saw the change happen before their eyes and they were amazed. I love that. Jesus was, is, and forever will be the biggest change that we need in our lives. that you need, that I need in my life. He's the biggest change that our community needs. He's the biggest change that our church needs. He's the biggest change that I need and that you need. And that is never going to change. And this morning, I want to invite you in a few moments, if you've never embraced that change, to do that this morning. Because meeting Jesus and finding Jesus for the first time will change your life. I found Jesus when I was 4 years old and always gone to church, always taken, been there, been to church in the womb, not just kind of when I came out of it. And, you know, always gone to church. And then there was one day and we were sat in an old hall that stank terribly. And on these rickety wooden chairs. And my Uncle Tony, who wasn't my real uncle, but he was a really close friend of our family. He was in charge of our Sunday school. And he was stood up the front. I can't actually remember what story he told. But we'd been singing our songs and we were on a kids' camp. And my parents were there and I was sat there. And I can always remember he was stood at the front. He said, if any of you want to know Jesus, why not just come out to the front? And as a little four-year-old kid, let's never say that they cannot know Jesus. As a four-year-old kid, I got up off my seat and walked to the front and all like the older kids were sniggering at me and I didn't care. And I went to the front and he prayed for me and I prayed and, you know, Jesus changed something in me that night. And I can't necessarily verbalize what it was, but I know that I knew Jesus. And then when I was 12, I'd really struggled with faith and stuff like that through illness in my family and through different things that had gone on in school and all that kind of stuff. And a guy came to our church and was preaching and he said, if you want to know Jesus or if you want to recommit your life to Jesus, why not stand up where you are? And again, I don't know why God does this to me, but I was the only one. And I stood to my feet. And I can remember going into this back room that we had in our church and my cousin, who was on our youth leadership team at the time, he stood and he prayed with me and he kind of discipled me over the next few years. And God radically changed my life that night. Jesus was the change. There were things that I was doing in school that were wrong and immediately it stopped. Jesus was the change. And I want to really encourage you here this morning. If you've never met this Jesus, he can be the change for you as he was for me. Jesus is, was, and forever will be the change that we need in our life. The biggest change that I need still today is Jesus and is the Holy Spirit and God just doing only what they can do in my life. What Jesus did on the cross still today has the power to change lives for the better and not just change my life on earth, but to change my eternity. It's not just now that counts. It's my eternity. Jesus changed my life and I know that I'm going to spend eternity with him. So number one, Jesus was the change. Number two, the friends were the change. Jesus didn't do all of this on his own. In fact, there would have been no change to be had if it were not for the friends that carried him there. The friends were the change. These four friends changed this man's life. Jesus did the miracle, but they set it up. Jesus performed the miracle both for forgave his sins and healed him, but the friends set him up for it. The friends set him up for his miracle. I love that. I love the fact that this guy didn't just, you know, get there just somehow on his own, but that four friends picked him up literally and carried him to his miracle. Jesus did it, but they set it up. Jesus got the winning shot, but they set the goal up. They may not have been the one that kind of, you know, kicked the ball into the back of the net, but they were the one that set everything up for it to happen. This morning, the friends were the change. You know, and I don't know about you, but I want friends like that. I want friends who will release, not block change in my life. I want friends who celebrate change and don't always question it. I want friends who, when needed, will carry me to my miracle. It might not be physically. If it is, pray you get to do it this time next year after I've been in the gym for a year. It might not be physically. It might be. but definitely spiritually, definitely emotionally, friends who will carry you to your miracle. Because you know what? Life can just become weary sometimes. And we need those who will carry us to change. Who won't give up on us halfway through. Who won't say, you've had enough now, we're not going to, you know, be there anymore. But people who will constantly carry us to the change that we need to see. And I want to challenge us, anyone here want those kind of friends? Just raise your hand if you would want those kind of friends. This is my challenge. If you want those kinds of friends, begin to be those kinds of friends. Sometimes you get what you give. If you want those kinds of friends who will carry you to a miracle, why not be a friend that brings change for someone else? Why not be the person who brings change, who sets up the miracle? God will perform the miracle, but we can have a lot to do with setting it up. We can have a lot to do with being there when that miracle takes place. So I want to look just quickly this morning at the challenges that the friends had. Okay, so challenge number one, they had to carry their friend, like carry them, you know, and we don't know how far they had to carry them. Maybe they live next door. Okay, if they did, not quite sure why they didn't get there a bit earlier. Maybe they lived in the next street. Maybe they lived in the town. Maybe it took them 3 days to get there. But this guy was on this mat. They got a corner each. They picked it up and they physically carried their friend to this house where they knew that Jesus was, where they knew change could happen. Sometimes we've got to be the friends that will physically, you know, make sure somebody gets to where they need to go. Somebody is where they need to be. The friends had to carry their friend. We're not told whether he was a big friend or whether he was slim. You know, we're not told whether, you know, this guy was easy to carry or difficult. We're not told what his mat was like. Was it one of those that was ripping at the corner and if you got hold of the wrong bit, it would all kind of rip and he'd fall off the mat? We have no idea what the circumstances were. All we're told is this: they got the mat, they picked it up and they carried him to where he needed to be. So picture this, you're one of those friends, you've got your corner of the mat and you're carrying your mate, all right? And you're carrying him to where Jesus is. You get to the house, but there's no way in. Maybe some of us would have tried the barge approach. Brian's nodding. You know, that kind of approach that kind of moves other people forcibly out of the way so you can get to where you need to be. I remember once being at a concert in Alton Towers car park with Liz, who wanted to be at the front, okay, and we were quite a way back, so we picked her up. Obviously, she was very petite, and so that was easy. We picked her up, and literally, the crowd carried her, and she crowd surfed all the way to the front, okay, to where she wanted to be, all right? So there were numerous things that they could have done, but they got there and they couldn't get him in. So they've carried him all this way. They're probably tired because the terrain that they would have gone over would have been hot. It would have been dusty. It wouldn't have been easy to walk on, but they carried him all the way there, okay, to get there and not be able to get in. So this always baffles me, okay, and maybe I need to know a little bit more about the buildings in Capernaum, but they get him onto the roof. Man on a mat onto, I have no idea how they did that, but they got him onto the roof. I'm wondering whether it'd be one of those comedy sketches where you're kind of lifting him up the wall and all of a sudden he nearly falls and you just kind of catch him by his leg or something like that. Okay, but they get him onto the roof. Then what do you do when you've got your mate on a mat onto a roof when you want to be in the house? So they begin, and this is the first time I've really read this, they began, I've kind of always thought that, you know, they were tiles that you could easily just lift off. But the NIV says this, that they dug their way through the roof. What did they dig with? How did they do it? You know, all of a sudden, no obstacle was too great for them. They came, they were on a mission, they were carrying their friend to his miracle, and they were not leaving there until he got it. So they go up and they dig through the roof. And then I'm like, it says that they lowered him through the roof. Now, unless they were really, really, really tall, how did that happen? Because you'd get so far down and, like, you know, the floor's still quite a long way down. I'm wondering if this was the first ever crowd surf. They didn't do it from outside. They did it from the roof, okay? And everyone just kind of got this guy on the floor to Jesus. But all of a sudden, okay, they lower him down on his mat. Did he fall off? I don't know. Loads of things go round in my brain when I'm reading this story. But they lowered him down and they got him to Jesus. There was a determination in them to bring change for this man. I want to ask you this morning, Generations Church, is there a determination in you to bring change into those places where you're going to be going tomorrow morning? Is there a determination in you to bring change in your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your college, in your school, wherever God has placed you? Because if we believe that God has got a plan for our life, whether right now you are where you really want to be or not, if God has placed you there, he will use you there. We've just got to have a determination for change within us. But I was thinking when I read this, that after the man was healed, did he wait for them to get down off the roof to say thank you? We're not told this. Did he wait for them to get down to say thank you? Did he thank them? You know, they weren't the ones that were next to him when he finally got his miracle and stood up and rolled up his mat and began to walk. They were up on a roof because they'd lowered him down, and everybody else was around this guy and was kind of, you know, next to him seeing this thing unfold. And sometimes I think we put so much emphasis on what we will gain if we are those kinds of friends that we lose the sense of being the change. Sometimes we want to, you know, say, actually, they didn't come and thank me and I did all of this stuff for them. So we decide not to be the change anymore. We decide to kind of walk away from that. So many people decide not to be the change for someone else because they didn't get what they thought they needed out of it. I want to say to us this morning, it's our job to pick up the mat, to get to the door. Okay, there's no way in. Let's get them up onto the roof. Let's dig through the roof. Let's lower him down. And you know what? Once they're at the feet of Jesus, who can bring the change, your job sometimes may be over. Sometimes my cousin discipled me for quite a few years after I became a Christian, and his job definitely wasn't finished that night. And sometimes that's the same for us. But sometimes what we're meant to do is get them to Jesus. And then someone else might take over. But we find that, I don't know about you, I find that hard sometimes. Because I carried that mat. I dug that roof. I lowered him down and made sure he didn't fall off. I did all of that stuff. Where's my role now? And sometimes we decide not to be the change any longer because we've been hurt in the past. I want to say to you this morning, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about those we need to get to the feet of Jesus. And you know what? Maybe when you've got someone there, if someone else takes over a bit, then that's okay. Because you know what? Go looking for someone else. Because once you've got used to carrying that mat, I tell you, you're going to want to do it all the time. When you let God work through you. We've been doing Crown for Life for the last 2 weeks with our ladies. And it's been one where there's been quite a few attending. And Debbie Yardsley brought two of her friends with her. And they're kind of finding faith at the moment. It's a joy to watch their journey. And one of the ladies, I was talking to her. And she'd had a really rough week, and we stayed behind just chatting with her and praying with her after Crown for Life had finished. And we were coming down the stairs, and she said, "Oh, I was sat with a girl the other day who was just helping me as I was crying," which is just incredible. She was one of those friends, I think. And she said, "Oh, I've started going to this church. I go to this church on Cannon Street. It used to be the Christian Fellowship," and she couldn't remember the name of the church now. And this girl said to her, "Oh, is that where Joe Reed goes?" And she said, "Yeah." She went, "She helped me so much." And I said to this lady, I said, "What was her name?" She said, "Her name's Hannah Chapman." And Hannah came into Beautiful She just after she'd had her little boy, Jake, teenager. And I used to nurse Jake every time she'd come in because he'd been crying for her for ages. And she'd literally come in and just go, "Please just help." And I'd walk around with this little baby, try and get him to sleep, try and get him. And I looked at her and I went, one of my longstanding memories of Hannah is I went round to her house one pancake day and I taught her how to make pancakes. This is all really spiritual stuff, hey? Do you know what? That was just a way of getting hold of the mat. I was making pancakes with her. I was just getting hold of the mat. Or maybe, you know, I was kind of walking along and I was carrying her because actually I wanted to get to know Jesus and I wanted to get to know her Father in heaven who absolutely adores her so much. And we do things to pick up the mat and to walk someone to where they need to be. And actually for me, you know, sometimes when they leave Beautiful She, I never kind of really saw or I'll see them in the street and say hi to them or whatever. But I don't really have much to do with them now. But actually, that's so blessed me. Because when you're doing the journey sometimes, you don't hear that thanks and you don't hear that what you're doing is making a difference. But yet, what is it? Since she stopped coming, it will probably be around 8 years ago when she came to Beautiful She, and 8 years on, she still remembers. Because someone grabbed hold of the mat. And, you know, our paths aren't crossing right now, but her path is crossing with this lady who's just started to come to our church on a Thursday night. See, God's great. God knows what he's doing. You know, and their paths are crossing, and you never know what will come of that. As someone else picks up the mat. It's not me this time, it's somebody else that might be picking that mat up, and that is fine. As long as people get to Jesus. This morning, Generations Church, or if you're in here visiting, I want to really bring the challenge. Are you willing to pick up the mat? Are you willing to get people to where they need to be? Are you willing to set up the miracle for someone? And then the third thing is simply this. The paralyzed man also had to be the change. Jesus can change us. Our friends can play their part. But you know what? This morning, church, there comes a point where we need to be the change. There comes a point where we need to be the change for ourselves. Jesus looked at the man. I love Jesus for this. The Bible never tells us that he bent down and he helped him up. And his friends are on the roof, so they can't get to him now. So Jesus looks at this man. He says, your sins are forgiven. Now get up, take your mat and go home. And the Bible says that the man gets up. He rolls up his mat himself. And he walks out of there. You see, Jesus will do what only Jesus can do. And he will expect you to do what you can do. And so this morning, you may be wanting change in your life. And you know what? Jesus brings the change. He will help us change anything. You may have people around you that will help you change. But at some point, you need to become the change for you. And what I want to look this morning at very simply is the mat that the man was lying on. Because Jesus tells him to get up, roll up his mat and go. He doesn't tell him to throw the mat away. He doesn't tell him, you know, to just kind of run out of there. He says, get up, pick up your mat and go home. And the man has to get up off the thing that he has been lying on for I don't know how many years. He has to get up from the thing where he has spent probably most of his life. He has to get up from that thing and do something that he may never have done before. I don't know if he was born paralyzed or if something happened to him. But all of a sudden, Jesus was telling him, get up, mate, and do something that either you've not done for a very long time or you may never have done. Get up from the thing, from the place that you have spent most of your life and begin to go and be the change. You see, his mat had been his companion. He laid on this thing for a long time. His mat had been his companion. The mat for him had defined him. It told the world around him who he was and the kind of life that he lived. It defined him. What things define you this morning that in a moment, God's going to call you to get up from, roll it up and walk out of here changed? Because the mat defined him. The mat defined him as a man who was sick. It defined him as a man who couldn't do certain things. It defined him, possibly the culture of that day was that if you were ill, either you had sinned or your family before you had sinned. So people would have looked literally, not just physically, but in every other way, looked down on him. It defined who he was. And when you've been defined for such a long time by certain things, sometimes it's hard to get off them and walk away from them. The mat gave the man his food. because he would lie on the mat and he would beg for bread. And I'm not saying that he got the best meal in the world, but I am saying it gave him a way to eat. It gave him a way to almost stay alive. And this morning, maybe there are things in your life that you think, if I move away from that, my life is going to change so much that I don't know if I'll be able to carry on. Do you know what? This morning, God, I have just this word in my spirit that God is going to call you to get up from some of those things, to roll it up and to walk out of here changed. Jesus can't, and actually no, Jesus can. That was the wrong word. Jesus can do it for you, but Jesus won't, I don't think. Because there are some things that God calls us to be the change in. So I don't think it matters how hard I pray, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow 3 stone lighter. I wish it was that simple. And I hadn't just spent X amount of pounds joining a gym. And I don't think it matters how hard I get down on my knees in the week of prayer and fasting. The fasting might help a bit, but I don't think Jesus is going to do it for me. I do think he has given me the willpower to change. I do think he has given me the strength to do it. And I do think he'll keep giving me the kick up the backside to do it. But I don't think he will do it for me. And there are some things in your life that he won't do for you either. Because he wants to take you through the journey of you being part of the answer to your problem. The mat gave him his comfort. He laid on it all day and all night. He was used to the way it felt. He was used to the way that if he laid a certain way, he might be more comfy than if he laid another way. It was everything to him, and the mat gave him his posture. How many of us walk around with a posture of our head down? How many of us walk around with a posture that says, I can't do anything, I'm no good? Do you know what? This morning, Jesus wants you to change that. And he wants to change your posture as you give up those things that have defined you for such a long time. When Jesus calls for change, he may call us to roll up the things that define us and have become a comfort to us in order to bring us even greater things than we have ever known before. And I'm not just talking maybe about people that are new to faith. For some of us that have been in faith a very long time, maybe some of those mindsets, maybe some of those ideals that we have always had, maybe God's just going to come and challenge some of them this morning. Jesus will only do so much for us. Our friends can only do so much for us. There comes a point where the individual has to choose to be the change for themselves. So proud of Billy this morning. Asked him the other day if I could interview him. So proud of him. We chose to help bring change for him. Jesus did so much for him. But as I read his report, I fully see what he did for himself. I fully see the ways he chose to change and to allow God to work through him so that today he can be on track for what he's on track for. Yes, he was a part of the church community. Yes, God did amazing stuff. But if he hadn't gone and got on the bus, hey, Sharon, and there were some days we were praying him onto that bus. But if he hadn't have gone and got on the bus, it wouldn't be happening. What is it that has become what defines you, but what holds you back at the same time? What has become your comfort and your posture, but at the same time, the thing that holds you back? Today is the time to pick up that thing. No longer lie on it. No longer let it be what defines you anymore. And roll it up and take it out of here. I was quite shocked that Jesus didn't tell him to throw the mat away. If it's defined him, if it's been all of those things, Jesus, why don't you just tell him to sling it? Because that's normally what we would do in church, isn't it? Okay, if that thing's been holding you back, just throw it away. Just get it as far away from you as possible. I want to make a suggestion to you this morning, if that is okay. All right, so it doesn't say this. I want to make a suggestion to you of why I think, and just, you know, in talking to God, why I think Jesus said, roll up your mat and take it with you. Because sometimes it's good to remind ourselves of what was once. And it's good to remind ourselves of the change that Jesus and others have helped us walk into. It's good to stay thankful and grateful for all that has been done for us. I don't think Jesus told him to take it with him, so he clung on to it just in case. I don't think that was the case at all. But I think sometimes when we can see all that God has done, it creates in us thankfulness and gratefulness, continued thankfulness and gratefulness. I thank God for what he's done in my life. I thank God for the changes that he's brought over the years in my life. And sometimes I have to remind myself of just what he's done. And I think as this man carried his mat home, we're not told anything more about him, so this is all preacher's license. But I think as he carried his mat home, if that was me, I'd have like looked at the mat and think, that shouldn't be rolled up under my arm. My friends should have been carrying me home. But instead, they carried me to the one who was going to perform the miraculous so that I could get up and walk myself back. I wonder what he thought on the way home. I wonder what the people of wherever he lived thought as he walked down his street, as he got into his house. I wonder what they were all thinking. I don't even know if he had a house, because he was a man who laid on a mat. This morning, I want to ask you three things. Number one, have you met Jesus? Because he will be the biggest change that your life will ever know. Number two, are you willing to be a friend that carries someone that sets up their miracle? And sometimes that takes stamina, and sometimes that takes heartache, and sometimes that takes physical strength, and sometimes it's inconvenient, and sometimes you think you're getting somewhere and then you come to an obstacle, and then other times you get onto the roof and you're trying to dig your way through. I'm always wondering what the people like down in the house was thinking as the roof was kind of caving in on them. Okay, but they were willing to overcome anything. Are you willing, Generations Church, to be that person? Your connect group, are you willing in your connect group to carry those who can't get there themselves? And the third thing is this: what is it that you're laying on right now, metaphorically speaking, that you need to roll up and get rid of? Because this morning, Jesus wants you to walk out of here totally free.